Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the wonderful parts of life. And there are times that we wonder how to get through parts of life. And then there are the wonders of the natural beauty around us. At times we wonder, how can you love us so much, Lord God? And we are thankful for all of those wonders and how much you love us. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. The wonders in life really are great wonders. Like in Hebrews 13:5, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do to me. We so gladly remember the never leave nor forsake you part. And then, by the way, there are other scriptures, ones that support this, like Deuteronomy 31:6, where God will not leave you nor forsake you. And what scripture is going on around that one? Well, that God destroyed Zihon and Og, and the kings of the Amorites. So then, we are to be strong and of good courage, and not fear nor be afraid of them, the enemies. So our Lord God goes with us, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. I understand these passages include a strong warning about what would happen if we chose not to love and obey God. See, then there would be consequences. And it is so very human that we want to look at the best parts of Scripture, the good promises, and not the warnings and the consequences that are in Scripture, about what would happen if we are not following God's instructions. And sure, we all want to look at the blessings, but that's not all there is in Scripture. There is more to Scripture than blessings. And we often pick and choose the Scriptures that we want, and then we leave the rest of the Scripture unread or unstudied. And we are also warned that we are to learn the whole Word of God. It says that in Acts 20:27. There certainly is a lot to learn. Scripture is a big book, and there are lots of lessons in it. I think of the easiest way to say it is in Matthew 22:37. It is briefly said, love God and love your neighbor. So can we do that? Well, we better, because it's a commandment. And there are plenty of scriptures that support that. They support that with examples of how we are to love God and how we are to love our neighbor. And certainly there are questions that we have, but let us study the Word of God. Because we want to understand the God we're going to spend eternity with, and life on earth is really very short, and eternity is really very long. So let's get to know our God, because we're going to spend eternity with Him. And a part of what we are told to do in the Bible, besides loving God, is to love our neighbor. And a part of that is to try to reconcile anything that we need to with our neighbors. Oh, yes, reconcile, but not with a sin issue or a doctrinal error. But the point is, we do try to reconcile with our neighbor, and we do want to live a life in a way that represents Christ to other people. And there's so many different ways of doing that. And I think we can be guided by examining the entire situation around us. And a part of that is to, if there is a conflict, to look at that conflict through the eyes of the other person, and then consider how Scripture would view it. We know there are conflicts all over the place, conflicts in the world and conflicts in our neighborhood, just everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice if we could resolve conflicts in a way that was agreeable with everybody? Well, sometimes the conflicts are not resolvable. And then, if they are not resolvable, we do have to stand strong according to Scripture. Oh, that is the fundamental themes and even the laws that are given to us in Scripture. Sometimes we have to stand strong. Strength is a requirement of Scripture. And I think of what's going on right now in the Holy Land, in Israel. I'm sure you are aware that there are many hundreds of rockets that have been sent from the Palestinian area into Israel. And Israel is preparing to respond, as it should. Any country ought to protect its citizens. If there was a country firing rockets into our border towns, we would protect our citizens in the U.S. But in this case, it's Israel, and it is right for Israel to protect its citizens. Now, it's anyone's guess at how this is going to develop, and will it quiet down again? Yes, we do wonder if it will ever settle down again. It's a mystery. And certainly, when there is a conflict, conflicts typically escalate. That's real possible also. And it could involve other countries and really get to be a big issue. Well, this is a good time for us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, there are problems world over, aren't they? Some are small and some are big and some are war and some are simple conflicts. But there are conflicts everywhere in the world. Some can be resolved and some they can't be resolved because our enemies want to literally kill us. Here in our own backyard, there are conflicts. Sometimes they are life and death, but mostly they are something of a political or an economic nature. And, oh, yes, we heard about the shutdown with Colonial Pipeline from Texas to the East Coast. Oh, that is making a real gas shortage on the East Coast and other places. Service stations, gas stations, are running out of gasoline. In some of the cities, 3/4 of the gasoline stations are out of gas. Oh, and that just reminds me of the gas shortages caused by the embargo of gas in the 1970s we had here in the United States. And at that point, gasoline purchases were greatly restricted. So, do problems repeat? Of course they do. And they repeat in different ways, but certainly these kind of problems can come along either very quickly in not much spacing, or they can be far apart in terms of time. But because something has happened before certainly means that same something can happen again. So yes, gas shortages one way or another can happen any time. And I do think about all the things that are going on around us. And the thing that we always have to remind ourselves is, how do we look at these current matters in light of our faith? Because our faith and being faithful is the most important thing we can do. Being faithful to our belief in Jesus Christ and having our relation with Him as Savior. That is what is the most important thing in this life. Our relation with God through Jesus Christ as Savior. And we accept the forgiveness that He gives us. What an awesome gift. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we all have these things to ponder. And so often, when we get close to death, we think about these things because they're pressing. All of a sudden, we're facing eternity. And it is a question of, do we accept Jesus and His forgiveness of our sins, or do we want to go on as so many of us have and think about just us, doing things on our own and not having a relation with Jesus? Well, think about it. Definitely think about it. Think about how we are saved. I think about Acts 16:31, and it tells us how to be saved. Believe only, and we will be saved. Well, that's, yes, it's right there in Scripture. But if you are not having the peace about your decision, then by all means look into it, because we all have the questions, even if we have the faith and the upbringing and the knowledge, there are always going to be questions, well, pretty much anyway. But we have to recognize that there will be Jesus as our judge for our eternal destiny. And because of that, we want to make sure that we have relation with Jesus as we go through life. There will always be something, and you know I talk about preparedness, and so let us prepare for our eternal life. And we can prepare for the things on this earth as well. I just think about a general condition of preparedness that we can have. In general, we all need the essentials of life. And for us people, that is water, food, and warmth. And I think we can add community to that also. Because if we're all by our little selves, we all need help. Everybody needs help and some companionship. So think about that. Think about the things that are coming. And I certainly think about one thing that's coming, and that is the beast system. And a part of that is looking like it's the cryptocurrency coming along. And, oh boy, don't we have different ideas about the cryptocurrency. A lot of people can see that is only the only way that it can happen in the future is that we must have cryptocurrency. And they are probably right. Somehow, we are going to have to all have that decision in front of us. At what point do we get concerned with taking the continuation of cryptocurrency, which is the mark? Well, all these things are for us to ponder. There are things going on with our currency, paper money, cryptocurrency, whatever it is. There's things going on with our economy. And you know what? There is a lot of these things in society, our morality, and our economic health. These things are being destroyed right before our eyes. And speaking of destruction of the economy, I want to think about, I do think about Vladimir Lenin. He was that Russian revolutionary and political theorist. And in the 1920s, he said, one way to destroy a capitalist country was to destroy its currency. And a very good way to do that was to print its currency excessively. Excessive currency printing. And you know what we are doing in our country right now? We are printing currency excessively. And some of it is in the form of paper currency, and some of it is electronic. And if you look, you will see, or maybe you remember, the news blurbs that kept coming out. Like in 2020, one said that 20% of all U.S. dollars were created in that year. And that amount was $3 trillion. So $3 trillion created is going to do something on our economy. In 2020, it was reported that 30% of all U.S. currency had been created that year. Now, in the last 10 months, it has been reported that 35% of all U.S. dollars were created in these last 10 months. So it is excessive printing of currency, whether it's paper currency or electronic currency. So will our economy be destroyed because of that? Well, we have history to look at. And history tells us that, yes, our economy will be destroyed. And when the economy is destroyed, it's so certain that our country also gets destroyed. So you get the idea. You get the idea that there is something that is coming our way. And in the last few weeks, there have been more and more economists who have been warning about hyperinflation coming our way. Yes, it's going to come. It has to. That's what money printing does. And all we can do is think about our own little short-term needs and how we need money. So government, give us money. And the government complies with the Federal Reserve. And they say, yes, we will print your money. And we do not realize how destabilizing it is, but it is killing our economy, and it's going to increase. That's just the way the historical patterns have been. And that brings to mind the Chinese expression that may you live in interesting or exciting times. And to say that to somebody was both a blessing and a curse. And you know, right now in our history, we are living in those interesting and exciting times where we are so glad to be alive to see what's going on. And yet we know it's kind of complex, kind of evolved, and we are still excited about it, even though things are a little troubling. Well, let us always remember one thing about the hard, if hard times come along, it is always an opportunity to preach the gospel. People who are having hard times in life, they want to hear the good news of the gospel. And so we can do that. Always we can preach the good news of the gospel, but there's more opportunity when people are having hard times. And I hope that you are going to remember the many missionaries that there are to other parts of the world. They need our financial support as they spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible. So if you can remember, please do send your prayers with God's blessing to them, and also send your dollars to support them. Well, all over the world we see people with problems. Problems is not a new thing. They've always been there. You can look at either history books or the Bible, and you can see that people have had problems. And that's one of the things about the good news of the gospel. It has answers. Some of the answers are for the current day, and some of the answers are for eternity. So think about that. I think about the financial problems going on in our community and how that is hurting so many, yes, business owners, and yes, employees. Just everyone is getting hurt by the economy shutting down. And it's probably going to open up again, but oh, we still have questions about everything. The powers that be are postponing opening the economy as well as they can. And I don't understand it, unless it's intentional. They're shutting down America, and America's enemies are saying, good, shut down America. And they want to cast America and Americans down. It's not a good thing. We have to kind of understand how it can be that the people in the halls of government power are going along with that theme where they want to close down America and the authorities are letting them. I don't understand it, but America is failing. It is. It is. And the government cannot continue to spend money to have bonus payments for all sorts of things. Well, as I look back, I can see that there have been people who have advocated for the collapse of America, and that's been going on for 30 years that I can think of. And at that time, it seemed completely impossible that America could be collapsed and shut down. So I never really took the people who said that seriously. But look what's going on now. America is deteriorating. America is headed for a collapse. That's not a good future for us. And so when I think about in the past the anti-American people, oh, I just wonder, where did they come from and how did they get there? I think they've been taught by Marxists and communists who believe in the philosophy of Vladimir Lenin. It's just going to be a a difficult situation for everybody when the collapse actually comes along. America has a special penalty with all of this also, because America has had special blessings. And that means we have more responsibility. And I think about the people who have been warning America to prepare. And I think of the people who have said to brace yourself. Brace yourself. A number of prophetic-minded people have said that. And that certainly seems what we ought to do. Brace ourselves. Always think of that spiritually, because it is it's something where we want to live eternally in the kingdom of God and not go to hell. So we do what we're told to do. And I think of Revelation 12:8, where it talks about who is going to go to hell. And let's see. But the fearful, cowardly, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, the whoremongers, or sexually immoral, or sorcerers, or idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, with it which is the second death. So, yeah. One of the first things in that little passage is that the fearful or the cowardly will go to hell. So, how do I reconcile that? I don't completely know, but I think of, I don't want to be fearful and cowardly. I want to stand strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let us apply all these strengths to our life and remember Scripture. I think of 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, yeah, let's have that be our goal. Let's want to seek righteousness in all those ways. That's really what we want to do. I think of Philippians 5:7, and it talks about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So all those things I think about, we want to prepare ourselves for a relation with Jesus Christ as Savior and the forgiveness of our sins and spending eternity with God in heaven and not hell. So yes, let's pursue that. Each one of us, make sure that it means something to you so that you will act accordingly. The Bible tells us how to live. It sure does. It tells us a lot of things, even about that we think of money as being not so much godly, but it is. Money is talked about in the Bible. By the way, the Bible form of money is gold and silver. But it still talks about things of value. It even talks about that ox, the head, a donkey's head as having value. That was in 2 Samuel, where a donkey's head, only the head, was sold for 80 pieces of silver. You know, I just said 2 Samuel. It's not 2 Samuel. It's 2 Kings in chapter 6. So, but we are left to wonder about things of value. What does have value anyway? A donkey's head? Or silver or gold? Or how about in 1635 when there was the tulip craze in Holland, and tulips of the perfect color sold for tremendous, exaggerated amounts of money. Oh, today I think we are all thinking about cryptocurrency and if that has value. Well, it certainly does have value, but how long will it last? Or will cryptocurrency become our new world currency? Or will we have to evolve into a form which accepts cryptocurrency? Well, if that's the case, maybe it will continue to evolve into the beast system and the mark of the beast. Well, there's just questions. Yes, we get indications from the Bible, and we're trying to figure them out. That's what we do. There's a lot of things going on in our financial world, and so could it be correct that we are setting up for the beast system? Of course it could be correct. You can depend on it, but we still are not sure exactly what it means. But it seems like the financial thinkers who want a one world order are expecting that there has to be a collapse, even a worldwide collapse, for a new currency to be introduced to the world. And the system is already set up through the national banks around the world and the United Nations World Bank and the United Nations Bank for International Settlements. Well, all these things are in that direction of that one world system. So is the time getting closer and closer to the end of the age? Oh, yes, it is. But we still don't know quite when it will be. And speaking of that Bible passage, the end of the age, I do think about those prophetically minded people who have used that message, brace yourself for what is coming. And indeed, bracing yourself surely does seem to be a good idea with all the conflicts that are going on in the world and even the shortages that we are feeling. Bracing ourselves sounds like a good idea. No, our economy is not what it used to be. Unemployment is pretty big. You know, the official figures are unbelievable. They say it's about 8% unemployment. But that's not what real world people are saying. Real world people are saying that it's more like 25%. Well, we certainly are having events going on around us. They're going on either both in our neighborhood and in our nation. See, in our neighborhood, we have the Oroville Dam, and that's at 38% of capacity. There's talk all up and down California of this being a really bad drought year that is coming. So another crisis and another answer that government is going to have for us. Oh, well, let us be concerned. Oh, maybe we're all concerned about the current virus. I mean, that is something to be concerned about. But what does it mean is another question. We do have to be aware of it being promoted by certain government entities, and it just happens to have given a certain power or control to those government entities when they declared a health emergency. So, speaking of that, you know how many people there are who are afraid of that virus, and I just wonder what it would be like if that many people were really afraid of God's holy judgment, and wouldn't that change life in our land? If people were as afraid of God's judgment as they are of the virus. What a thought. Well, we do have things that are concerning us. Sure, the virus. Oh, and if you want another one, there's that Tom Horn book, which talks about the asteroid coming right on the path of a near miss of Earth. Tom Horn has written that in his book, The Wormwood Prophecy, about that asteroid called Apophis having a near miss with Earth. Well, I do think about legends in the past. And I remember going back, it's been a lot of years, probably 50 years, and I think about when I studied the things about it was called Mars then, but it was considered to come on close contact with Earth and to have disrupted the whole Earth. It made war with Earth, and that is why Mars is called the planet of war. Well, according to the Tom Horn book, this near collision course with Earth will come in April of 2029. And if you believe in the rapture, a rapture would be in 2025. Of course, we wonder about all of its validity. Could it really be true? Well, parts of it could be, and I just told you about the legend that I remember as a kid. As a kid, I did study that. And yes, I know I was strange to be studying that as a kid, but that's what it takes for our world. It takes all different kinds of people. And I was one of those kids that wanted to study things, and I did. And the body of Christ, certainly the Bible seems to value knowledge, does it not? So it's good and fine to study those things. Just keep your perspective on God. That's the way I view it. Well, that war planet could be coming by. Apophis, that asteroid, let's call it, not the planet, but asteroid. They say in 2025, it will be visible with binoculars from Earth. So maybe we have a long time. Maybe we don't. What do you call long? Maybe it will turn into nothing. I just wonder about it. But if there is a body like that that is coming by, or if it is a brown dwarf, to our surprise, then it would have a significant gravitational pull on Earth. And I don't remember anymore who wrote this, but at that time I remember reading that it would have pulled on the Earth so strongly that the Earth would have bulged out 20 to 30 miles. And you know what that would do? That would upset the continental plates on Earth. And if you disrupt those continental plates, it would cause a great earthquake. Many great earthquakes. And it would cause volcanoes. And just think of Revelation 16:20, where it refers to every island fleeing away, and the mountains were not found. Well, if the sea changes its location, who knows what could happen? Who knows? But it's okay to look at what we would do if there really was an Apophis or Wormwood that comes right by Earth, making the waters bitter. Well, it's all a possibility. And the thing is not to just be so very concerned about that, but think about what your eternity is, because it's always your eternity that is the question. And the thing about this Apophis or Wormwood coming by is that it introduces a limit on the time that we have on earth to preach the gospel. We want to preach the good news of the gospel to the unsaved world. And so, let us realize that there is a time frame and we need to get busy with all of that. That's for sure. Heaven is our eternal home. That's for sure. And it's a beautiful place. I think of 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So, heaven is going to be a beautiful surprise, wonderful and amazing, and we will say thank you, Jesus, for heaven. I can only imagine what it's like, but I do know there's people who have had a time when they thought they died, and heaven was so beautiful that they absolutely did not want to come back. And I know I had kind of an experience like that too. Oh, it's been 30 years ago, but I still remember it. And I still remember that I absolutely did not want to come back to earth. No way. It was so beautiful where I was. So since that time, I absolutely have no fear of death. So, interesting, the things that happen in life. Very interesting. Well, remember what is important, and that is your relation with Jesus. Pay attention to life and the gospel and loving those who are around us. And that love is, well, to me, it is firstly for their eternal life, their salvation, their being in heaven and not hell. Remember, the road to hell is wide, and the road to heaven is narrow. So, we want to remember that as we interact with people around us and preach the good news of the gospel. Hey, I just saw a story in Fox News, not just, but a couple days ago. It was by Pete Hegseth, and it was dated May 7th, 2021. And it addresses the new senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. His first name is Bishop. Bishop is not a title, it's his first name. Bishop Garrison. And he called all Trump supporters both racist and extremist. And this appears to be a patriot purge that is going on in our society. You could even consider this lining up with a paper that was, oh, it goes back a little bit to December. No, this paper was in March of 2021, a DARPA paper. DARPA stands for Defense Research. I'll have to think about that. But it is DARPA. And it was a Department of Defense paper that talked about patriot extremism. And it defined patriot extremism as an ideology that holds that the U.S. government has become corrupt and it has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, or it is no longer capable of protecting the people against foreign threats. So apparently there are plenty of conservative people who would be considered as adversaries. You know, they would be considered a racist or an extremist because of that patriot extremism that they hold. It's just going to be an interesting thing what we see in our government. These people are painted with a broad brush. Therefore would be said that all conservatives are racists. And we know that's not true, but it is a theme that is being promoted. Oh, and then there was, on April 20th, 2021, two top American generals were called on to testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee. They were Charles Richard, head of America's Strategic Command, and James Dickinson, head of the U.S. Space Command. They both were asked separately if extremism was a problem within their ranks. And both of them said there was no extremism among the ranks, and if there were any at all, it would be quickly routed out. And then the next day, that Bishop Garrison stated on the record that we would be remiss if we did not admit to the fact that there is a problem with extremist behavior in the military. And that is to say that even one extremist is too many. So you know what that sounds like to me is that there is going to be a purge of our military, where anyone with traditional conservative values will be routed out. And, oh yes, some of them will be Trump supporters. And it also means that every military person's private communications or social media communications will be closely scrutinized, and they will be deemed as either suitable for the new U.S. military or unsuitable, and they will be shown the way out. Well, be aware that this is a purge that it started under, well, when Biden was vice president under Obama. There was a purge that went on at that time when certain mid-level officers in a big way were removed from their posts. So it's my opinion that our president will continue this direction. And by the way, again, my opinion, if the current vice president ever becomes president, this purge will intensify. That's opinion. But it is interesting when you combine the news stories with what we are seeing right in front of us. And we have a certain, very delicate position with all this, because we, the people, are the government. It comes right out of our constitutional themes. And that means we, the people, get the consequences for the bad decisions that our government makes. See, our government has done some really seriously unholy things, unrighteous things, unrighteous, bad things. And we, the people, have not stood up and said, stop, government, you belong to us. No. So that means, yes, the government will have consequences. And it also means, yes, the people will have consequences. And we have difficult situations nowadays and questions about our votes being properly tabulated? It's a good question. And there are certainly indications that our votes have been fraudulently tabulated. And that means we're going to have a penalty to pay. We are going to get circumstances that we cannot imagine. So, that's how it's going to go. These are trying times. And no doubt the times are going to get harder because the consequences from our actions. That's why. And another report that I'm going to mention is a May 9th, 2020 report from Sky News in Australia that talks about the Chinese PLA, or People's Liberation Army, and that branch of the Chinese government is completely controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And there was a report released in 2015, 263 pages, and that report discussed why scientists and military strategists would want to weaponize the SARS coronavirus. Again, 2015. So the report heralded a new age was coming in genetic weapons, where genetics could be artificially manipulated into an emerging human disease virus, weaponized and unleashed in a way never before seen. For instance, the virus could be freeze-dried and aerosolized during an attack. So, the report continues that there is no evidence that the coronavirus was intentionally released, but you can see that, well, it sure looks like it could have been. It was a plan from 2015, and the fellow who wrote that plan was given a military award and was called an outstanding Communist Party member. And to this day, he still enjoys special government allowances for his paper. So all this goes to speak that indeed there could be these things going on right under our noses. And so we're told one thing, that it was an accident and the World Health Organization investigated it, the U.S. government investigated it, and well, I guess nobody knows what to do. And whoever would think that we would get a hold of that 2015 report? But it's there. It's available now. And it could have been a socialist or communist method of operation to, well, let's say to kill the opposition, to disable us. And it was acknowledged as an agent that would overrun our hospital and health systems and make it so that we couldn't function as a country if it was put in an enemy's land. So these things are going on. And oh, and let me just say, we are thankful to the whistleblowers, the doctors, the scientists, the Chinese ones, I mean, Chinese doctors and scientists who were whistleblowers. They made public statements, and it reached the international community. And you know what happened after that? They were never heard from again. That is the socialist communist method of operation, to kill your opposition. And these whistleblowers, well, what do you think it means when they're never heard from again? They're dead. I mean, that's just the method of operation that there has been. And so when somebody risks their reputation and their life to tell us a certain piece of news, I think that lends a little more credence to the validity of it. And we have people in this country also who have risked their vocations, their occupations, their medical practices to tell us about the dangers of this or that related to the COVID disease or vaccine or any of that. And so when people put their reputation or their career or their lives on the line, to me that gives just a little more validity to their credibility. But we all have to judge their credibility because we all have different opinions, and I hope you at least look at it. What it means in China for those people to do it, or the United States doctors who have stood up and said, look out, beware, this corona thing and this vaccine is not what you think it is. So I just urge everyone to take a close look at it. It's a personal decision what we do, but be aware. So many in this country have stood up, and they are paying a price for it. Again, that just makes me think all the more that there's something to what they are saying, because they are willing to put their reputation and even their life on the line. At a time when so many lies are being promoted, it can be a dangerous thing to speak the truth. But isn't the truth the most important thing there is? Yes. So let us remember that the most important truth is to say and to shout, and that means no matter what the consequences, say and shout the truth of Scripture and Jesus Christ. So God bless you as you go about the Lord's business. And if you ever want to listen to a broadcast of Christ Today again, do so by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. And you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live inside your